had forgotten that we belong to one another. I think these words are so true, and there's no truer place than from our creation story today, our reading from Genesis, which shows we do belong to one another. We are made from the same dust of the earth, and we are made from the same flesh and bone. We are all made children of God, and we belong to one another. This creation story in Genesis for today is actually the second creation story. There are two creation stories in Genesis. A lot of people don't realize that, because when we tell the story, we just mush the two together. There's the first story, which has the 6 days of creation. And people like to do the 6 days of creation, and then they take this story and stick it in where Adam is made from the ground of the earth. But in the first story, actually, man and woman are just created at the same time. In the story for today, however, the second story, we see something different. God first creates the land, he causes water to rise up, and then he creates a human from the dust of the earth, from the clay in the earth. In fact, the word is basically close to humus or humus. It's earth. It's this clay man that God creates out of the ground of the earth, makes a little garden, and sets the man in the garden. And then he thinks, well, the man needs a companion, so brings forth all of these animals, and the man names them, but is not satisfied until he takes a piece of the man, creates woman, and there is a proper companion for the man. This is a gorgeous story. A story of like an art palette and God creating, right? Breathing nostrils, breathing air into the nostrils of man, creating out of nothing. But it's also a little bit of a problematic story. It's caused problems over the years. It's caused the subjugation of women, for instance, when people would say, oh, you see, woman was taken from man, she was second. And by the way, men don't have one less rib than women. That's actually how that went around for a long time. But the word, if we look in Hebrew here, the word is actually helper, but partner. And the same word that's used for woman is also used for God throughout the Bible. That God was a partner and helper to humans, just like woman is now for man. This verse has also been used to be ironclad about what marriage means. It is between a man and a woman, and here is the institution. But here again, we have a problem. That word wife in this translation doesn't actually exist in Hebrew. It should just be woman, but that when the people translate it, husbands and wives existed. And you add on to that the problem that marriage as we know it now, a monogamous marriage between a man and a woman, didn't exist in the time. It just didn't exist as we know it. So that is not where God is going with it, even though that's where we insist on going with it sometimes in our mind and in our culture. Instead, what God is doing is talking about the importance of companionship. God says, it is not good for man to be alone. We were not made to be people who live and act in isolation. We were people who were made from the very beginning to live in community. And it doesn't necessarily mean a marriage, but in community of some sort. It is not good to be alone. Now, I know we love to say in our culture, oh, I just need time alone. Right? And we love to talk about the man cave, right, for men. And what's the stereotype for women? I was trying to think of it. So it's like, maybe it's the bathtub, the wine glass, the book. So what is it called? Oh, I don't know that. I learned a new term today. Did you say she shed?
She shed.
Oh, all right. Like the man cave. I guess so. Wow. So that's so popular, right? But we all know that we can't stay there, and we wouldn't want to. I talk with person after person, and so often when there is sadness, it is about loneliness. It is about feeling alone, whether you're isolated in a community. There might be a community going on all around you, and yet you are home. You are stuck for whatever reason. Sometimes you're even in a group of people, and you feel alone. We cry out for community, and we are called to reach out to those who we see may be alone and lend a hand and be that person so that no one finds themselves alone. And I think God knew that we couldn't be alone because we can't do what God asks us to do alone. Because what God asks us to do is to serve the earth, to be a blessing, to reach out and work. God calls the man in this text to till the ground. Now, that was written, translated in the King James Version Bible. Some of you remember the King James, you know, some of you still wish we were reading the King James Bible. I know you do. And it was written in the 1600s in an agrarian society. So they use this word till, but what the better translation for us now would be is serve. The man was called to serve the earth, to guard the earth, to protect the earth. And that is also what we are called to, the earth and one another. And we are called to do it to all edges of the earth, wherever we go. There's this strange verse in the middle, which always gets cut out when we read it, but we read it today, about these rivers that go from the Garden of Eden. And I was looking at that, and I was trying to figure out, what does that really even mean? But those rivers originate in the Garden of Eden. These rivers are in the place that God made, and then they go out to all four corners of the known world at the time. If you look at these places, they're going north, south, east, west. The rivers flow out of Eden. And what is water? We consider it now, I mean, we watch those awful pictures from the hurricane, and we see what destruction water can have in the world. But at the time in our lives, we know water brings life as well. And these rivers flowing out would have been blessings and life flowing from what God had made. We are called to go out from our Eden, to go out from our creation spots, to all corners of the world, to serve God, to protect creation. But it's really hard to do, which is why we have one another. But it's also really hard to do because it will take something from us. It will take something from us, and we don't always want to give that, do we? We look at Adam today, and in order for the female to be created, a chunk of his side literally had to be taken from him. Now, I heard somebody say that in order for the world to increase, man had to decrease. Adam literally decreased so that the world could increase with the creation of woman. That is what we are called to as well. We are called to decrease so the world can increase. We are called to give of ourselves, our time, our possessions, so that more in the world can be good and loving. We do this. I was thinking about how when I was pregnant with my kids, so I was really sick for the first 4 months with all of them and could hardly eat anything. And I was pretty convinced they were all going to be malnourished when they were born because I was eating nothing. But the obstetrician said to me, oh, don't worry. She said, don't worry. You have enough vitamins and everything in your body. That baby's just sucking all of those out of you, right? So you may not have enough vitamins and minerals, but that baby's going to be just fine. Right? At the time, it wasn't so encouraging, right? But at least I felt, I guess it was encouraging because I knew my baby was getting what my baby needed. But it literally caused me to decrease. Now, that doesn't always happen in that way, but we know it also happens with our money, or our time, or our energy levels, or our emotional reserves. If we are going to be people in the world who are loving and giving and blessing, we will decrease. But the beauty of what God has done is that then the world increases and we at the same time are refilled and increase with it. We don't know what God will do with what we have given, but we know God promises it will be good. Now, we are invited. Here's the gift. God invites us to give. God invites us to
to serve. God invites us to be co-creators in this thing called earth. What a gift. We often say God needs us to do that, but I think more and more God doesn't need us to do it. God can do whatever God wants. I mean, look at Adam. I love in this story, I noticed for the first time when I read it this time, did you notice God never asked Adam, hey, Adam, I'm going to put you out, then I'm going to take your side, and I'm going to make a woman. Uh-uh, it just says God did it. God caused a deep sleep because I have a feeling Adam would have said, no way, I'm good with the cow.
But he didn't. But God can do whatever God wants. And I'm reminded of that over and over. Hey, Adam, can you have the slide that I asked you to put on? I don't know if some of you have seen. I was reminded this week of what God does. Did anybody see this picture in the newspaper? This tomato is growing in the East River in a pylon. It's crazy. And I just read when I looked at this, was like 4 days ago I read this. There's another pylon with more growing now. And what they think is, because there's no way a human could have climbed out there and planted it that they can think of, so the botanist that went out there basically thinks a bird probably ate a tomato plant, pooped on the pylon, and then this tomato plant grew, right? But okay, you know what, God's pretty amazing. God doesn't need us, right? If God can make a tomato plant grow on the East River from bird poop, right? Whatever God wants. But that's not the point. God can do whatever God wants, but God has invited us into the beauty of creation. God has invited us into serving and loving our neighbor because God knows that is what is good for us. We might like to think what's best for us is just to go on an island, be alone, and rest, but when we sit back, we know that's not true. Notice God didn't just put up a hammock for Adam in Eden and say, have a good time, right? Because God knew what we all need, what we all want is meaning in our lives. Over and over when I talk to people, what they are looking for is not necessarily rest. It is meaning. What can I do in this world that is meaningful? And God has told us. It doesn't need to be big. It doesn't need to be grand. It is service. It is caring for and protecting the earth. It is caring for and protecting the most vulnerable. That is what we have been invited to do. That is what will give our lives meaning. God tells that to us from the beginning of creation. And we spend so much time thinking it's something else we have to do. That we have to be perfect. That we have to do just what's right. And now, right in our culture, what do you have to do? You have to make money. You have to have the biggest job. Right? That's not it at all. What brings meaning into our lives, and we all know this when we really stop and think about it, is to love and to serve and to give and to decrease so others can increase, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. But God promises us that God will do good things with us when we step forward trusting in the service and love. You can let God do everything, and I suggest you keep your eyes open to the amazing things God is doing. But you can also step forward and be a part of the creation God has made. And I suggest that is what we should all do. Thank you.